WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree, and this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your hosts.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You also have exactly one more day on September. That's right, you can get your discount subs for one more day, and then they're gone, y'all. So if you want to subscribe the regular way and get a discount sub, you can do that. Just click the little purple button down above the screen. You also follow the regular way, hang out and chat, and listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, and then we're coming to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, Twitch.tv/WTLive, where it is September. You can get 20% off your first month sub, or 25 for 3, or 30 for 6. Or if you like gifting subs, it's 25% off for that for one more day, because, you know, that wouldn't have been helpful for people, you know, during the entire month, but no, they give it to you 4 days beforehand in September, because they were facing some, anyway, backlash. I'll talk about backlash. Chat, this goes to anyone out there. Don't ever, you know what is not going to be worth it on Twitch? Elevated chats. In any chat you're in, save your money. This is a public service announcement. Just save your money.
Yeah, don't be fooled. Like, I like how I have a message. You can now elevate a message in WTR Live's chat. Try it. Your message goes here. Oh my God, that's such a scam.
Yes.
Wait. This is bullshit. So wait, you get... So the $5 and the $10 mark makes sense. It goes up in like 30-second increments. This is stupid. So for $5, you get 30 seconds. For $10, you get 1 minute. For $25, you get a minute and 30 seconds. For 2 minutes, you get, or excuse me, for $50, you get 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then for $100, it'll highlight your message for 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Bitch, for $100, that thing better sit up there for the rest of the stream. What are you talking about, this 2 minutes, 30 seconds thing? No, no, just no. What is this?
Save your money. Save your money.
I mean, good on Twitch for trying something, but no.
No, no, not good on Twitch for trying things. No, it's stupid. They were doing direct bits too before for people, where instead of giving bits like you can in channels, just they were like, here, give them real money. That you're ruining your whole system. It's stupid. Things that are not wrong with Twitch. Being able to see your chat. Do not pay a streamer to read your chat message, especially for $100 for 2.5 minutes just to sit up there. Like, cool, if you're promoting like a big event and you want Ninja to have it in his chat or whatever, it's still stupid. So dumb.
Please save your money.
Save your money. Spend it elsewhere. Buy other things. Support the channel in other ways. Just don't. Elevated chats are dumb. Just saying. They're dumb. Anyone ever save your money? Anyway, we're not here to talk about Twitch things. We're here to talk about wrestling.
So we have some news. We have some notes. We have a discussion. We have Tweet of the Week. We have all the fun things. So let's talk about the news brought to our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And let's start from the top and work our way down. A huge congratulations to John Cena. He has broken the Guinness World Record for most wish granted through Make-A-Wish Foundation. I think it's over 250 wishes.
It's more than that, isn't it? He's well past that.
I thought it was more, but the number 250 sticks out of my mind. But congratulations to him. It is a monumental achievement.
650.
There we go. There it is. I think his old record was like 250.
Whatever it was, like 250 seems low for John Cena.
But yes, congratulations to him. I know everybody's like, oh, it's only 650, but think of that 650 lives that he has helped just through Make-A-Wish, never mind all the lives that he's touched throughout his career. So
yeah, that's a big accomplishment. 650 wishes granted. People are lucky to do 1 or 5 or 10 at the most. 650?
That shows his impact.
Shows his impact as it's the time he's ever given to people. And you can tell it's one of the things he's most proud of is being able to, you know, make an impact in people's lives. And he's clearly done that. And we've seen videos, you know, a lot of it doesn't want to be talked about, but you've seen the video. You've seen what he did for the kid overseas a while back.
Yeah. The kid that was impacted by the war where he was special needs and he lost all of his John Cena stuff in the war, and John Cena got on a plane and was like, well, I can fix this.
I'm going to fix this. I'm going to make things right. That's the type of person John Cena is.
So, congratulations to him. A well-deserved honor. WWE has signed a major deal in Australia with Foxtel, so congratulations to them.
Yeah, they're going to have a bunch of things with all the... It's going to be live programming, the on-demand programming, etc. Foxtel is a big deal for in Australia. So, the fact that WWE has a major deal with them... That's good. More exposure. All the things. Indeed.
Candice LeRae has returned to WWE to the shock and awe of everybody. She returned Monday night in a very surprise return. So good on her. She looks fantastic. She wrestled fantastic. I think we're all excited to see her on the main roster and what she's going to do, because I, for one, would say Candice never really got a fair shake on NXT TV.
No, because she was always the girl to help everyone else out, and now she'll be a part of major stories, and she's going to be given a chance to be spotlighted on a major platform like Monday Night Raw or SmackDown. Doesn't matter which show she's on, probably Monday Night Raw with her husband, Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, and the two of them will shine, and she's in a position who just had a kid 9 months ago.
Yeah, that is a hella fast return.
And it's just another sign of what WWE is willing to do for its talent and giving them the opportunity. You want to be a mother? Great. Go off, be a mother. But if you want to return, you come back at it. We've seen it with Becky Lynch. We've seen it with Lacey Evans. We're seeing it with Candice. They're open to having, you know, they probably have very accommodating for all the women and men who have children. And this is a sign, hey, you can have both a career and parenthood.
Yeah, where in the past that wasn't necessarily the case. You had to make a choice. And now the fact that that choice has been somewhat eliminated, I think, is a beautiful thing. The fact that they're willing to help people get buses so they can travel with their children, and they're willing to work with schedules and do all these different things so people can be with their families more. Because I think the one thing that we all learned kind of from the pandemic was, you know, compromising on certain things is maybe not what we want to do anymore coming out of the pandemic. And I think for the talent, it was being home and being with their family and being with their kids and celebrating those birthdays and celebrating those holidays and just generally getting to enjoy life, which they hadn't in the past. You know, they had that huge 300-day grind, and they're kind of back to the grind, but WWE is more willing to work with people on their schedules because it's like, hey, look, I want to go be with my kids.
Yeah.
I want to go be with my family. It's like, Miz, I want to be with my kids and my wife. Done. Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch, we're going to have a baby. Okay, great. I want to come back and work. Okay, fine. You know, Candace, the same thing. Lacey, the same thing. So it's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
What I'm not in love with, because I know it's going to be obnoxious, is this is not a bad thing. It's just WWE has agreed to produce custom title belts. They've gotten a license from the SEC where they will be making your own favorite SEC college teams their side plates for the WWE championship. I can't wait to turn on college football and see every other Georgia fan. Not that I watch Georgia football, but actually, no, not even turn it on the TV. Just walk into the superstore or walk into the supermarket on game day and you just see them in their regalia. It will be obnoxious.
It'll be great.
They'll make a shit ton of money because nobody is as crazy about football as the SEC.
Exactly.
Nobody.
Nobody.
My mic isn't good?
You're fine. Anyway, continue.
That's because I can switch the mics if I need to switch the mics.
You're good. I haven't heard anything. Go.
Okay. See, the phone's on the other side of the desk, so it's not that. So, Fox is going to air WWE's most extreme moments this upcoming Sunday in preparation for Extreme Rules, which is next
Saturday.
Saturday. It's like, yeah. Is it Saturday or Sunday? I can't keep track.
This one's a Saturday, yes. It'll be on. Check your local time and listening after your early game or before your late game, depending on when you have football. On Fox, because I would assume CBS has the doubleheader, so Fox either have an early game or a late game on Fox. So check your time and availability. Check your local listings for when WWE's most extreme moments hit stairways on Fox.
Ding! And in another surprise return, Gabe Sapolsky is back with WWE. He resumes his role in WWE Creative under Triple H. This is obviously a quality hire. We know what Gabe did with NXT. I'm sure he will continue to do wonders on the main roster working with WWE Creative, and will continue the refresh and resurgence that we're seeing coming out of that group.
Yeah, so this will allow WWE Hunter to build his group of talent that he had already assembled a year ago. He's slowly bringing each and every one of them back who has not found a job.
Yeah. So, you want to come back? Great, let's go.
Like, we've seen it with Road Dogg, and we've seen it now with Gabe, and Ryan Ward, who's come back. He is assembling his talent to go, okay, some of you are going to work down there. Gabe's working on the main roster now, not in NXT, where he was working. He's going to work with Hunter, and it's weird. Like, you look at who's assembling and how Hunter is assembling his people. He is Gabe Sapolsky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was taught by Paul Heyman. He still has Paul Heyman as an asset if he ever needs it. Like, there's a nice bloodline of talent who's able to be creative for WWE. They're in good hands right now.
I'm looking forward to what's going to happen, but I do want to say this: can we stop trying to spoil the White Rabbit and find out before we get the reveal next weekend? Can we all just enjoy the shit out of this?
But oh my God, here's the thing: we need to know everything.
We don't. This is, I know we talked about it last week, but I just want to talk about it again really quickly before we go on. This is the single most creative thing I think I've seen them do in a very, very long time. and it is something so incredibly unique for them. I think this is the first time they've ever really tried it, and it's just, from my perspective, it's brilliant. And I love the fact that they have made it an interactive scavenger hunt, whether it was intentional in the beginning or not, but they have embraced the fact that the fans are out here looking for clues, that they're out here making the connections, that they're buying into the conspiracy theories. And then on top of it, WWE has begun to feed those theories. They're encouraging you to go look for this information. They're encouraging you to discover more for yourself and feed your head. It's beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing I've seen them do in quite a long time. And I just don't want it to be spoiled. Like, I hate the fact that I see people that are like, oh, we're our contacts in WWE Creek. No. They don't know anyway. This is so top level that, like, nobody knows what's going on. Just, like, let it go. Just let it go and enjoy the ride. I know we're the internet and we have to scream about things and we have to know everything, but just buy into this and enjoy the ride. This is what everybody's been like asking for years, right? Something that we can all just sink our teeth into and enjoy. Here it is. Here you go. This is it. Enjoy. Do the thing. So that is my rock went off about the chat. I'm going to go off about the White Rabbit. Like, they've made it fun and I like that.
I'm in total agreement with you.
So, and last but certainly not least for WWE, senior ringside physician Dr. Chris Amon has exited the company. He gave his notice some time ago and has retired from his position this month. So thank you very much, Chris, for all your service. Or excuse me, Dr. Chris, thank you so much for all your service and your contribution throughout the years. We appreciate you.
We do, in fact, appreciate the service you've given to WWE, so who knows who's going to take a hold of it going forward, but...
Yeah, a replacement has not been announced, but I'm sure they have somebody. I think they have to have somebody, so it will probably be somebody under Dr. Chris who assumes the role, because they have more than one physician that works for that company. So, yeah. Anyway, news on AEW. Battle of the Belts will be live on 10/7. Mark that on your calendars. It's not live on 10/8. It's live on 10/7. So it's going to be on a Friday. Not a Saturday. A Friday.
Right after Rampage.
Right after Rampage. They're a little worried, I think, about a fluffy bunny, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Why can't they do it on Sunday?
Because this is easier because they would be taping it anyhow, so they just gave them an extra hour of TV. So it's just all 2 hours live.
Okay.
It may do a better rating live, because so far they haven't drawn great ratings. I mean, they've done solid ratings for the Saturday show, so I think they're just getting it out of the way. We'll see.
We will, in fact, see. And last but certainly not least, for the news, Bobby Fish has made his Impact Wrestling debut, so congratulations to him.
Yeah, so he found a job.
He did find a job, so congratulations. And with that, I always say we take our first and only break of the evening, and when we come back, we are going to be doing Tweet of the Week, and we're going to be having a little discussion. Is AEW, in fact, Saraya's house? We'll have to see. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Bang! event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight to Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw post show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Did you know you can use creator code ROCK and sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad, because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch, you can use your Prime Gaming sub here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. It's also September for one more day and you get an additional 25% off for the last day. So if you want to subscribe the regular way and redeem your discount sub, do so here. We would appreciate it. You can also follow the channel, hang out in chat, listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Okay, I have to get to the bottom. Kurt Angle, on this day 21 years ago, I defeated Steve Austin BSR at Unforgiven pay-per-view 2001 to win the WWE Championship in front of my hometown of Pittsburgh, PA. Steve Austin, you don't have to brag about it. Wrestling Inc., someone is coming back as Jake from State Farm, I guess? Shrugs in reference to the 923 and 923.
Okay.
Vic Joseph. Well, Stu Bennett is bragging that he is undefeated in any fight that took place in a pub. Looking for confirmation before we go on the air from Drew McIntyre. Is it pub rules tonight? And he plugs NXT. Stu Bennett. I'm undefeated in both pub fights and drinking competitions. I'm a real man. Drew McIntyre responds, "Does that nose look like he's won any fights?" Steuben and I am both sickened and offended by this public nose shaming. Drew McIntyre needs to be canceled with immediate effect. True friendship.
Yeah.
True, honest to God friendship. Coit out. I will not be pulling for Sino. I will instead be going outside and pulling for Jesus. And in a follow-up tweet, and Venti.
Nice.
And that's all I have.
Okay. Where are we at? Only have a couple. So here we are. Caleb Braxton called room service, ordered 8 wings, fries, grilled cheese, and the flatbread. Also, a bottle of wine was cheaper than 2 glasses, so what the heck. Room service. How many glasses do you need? Me. 4. It's only me up here, but can't let her think I'm about to kill this alone.
Oh, no. Let her think you're going to kill that alone.
And Micah says, it's astonishing that Carson Wentz was sacked 9 times, most of them his fault, and didn't throw an INT. I mean, for him, that's actually progress.
Aw, poor Carson.
He got sacked 9 times.
That sucks.
You know, that happens that way. Anyway, tweet of the week.
Tweet of the week. All right, so we're going to have a little chit-chat. Rock's going to lead this one where we talk all about AEW and is, in fact, AEW Saraya's house.
So last night, it was her first appearance since making her debut the previous week on AEW Dynamite, where she cut a promo on AEW and sort of mentioned some things and, you know, declared it was her house and, you know, everything like that. And she's now the start of a revolution because she is the revolution. It was very unclear what she actually was because no one knows what she actually is. But she cut this promo and had a back and forth with Britt Baker, but it also felt like a WWE style of promo where here we're just going to bring out all the babyface women together that were available at the time to stand in the ring and let Paige. Let me, you know, introduce you to these women. Or reintroduce, because no one knew who they were. Oh, wait, everyone knows who they are. Especially the women's champion, Toni Storm, who was the only one that got an actual introduction. Which she was like, sure, yeah, whatever. Like, she didn't even want, like, she didn't even come front and center for it. But it's like, she came out there and just started talking and rambling. And then it got interesting because she went back and forth with Britt Baker and took a, you know, Britt started making fun of Paige's neck and or Saraya's neck and then made fun of her name. And Saraya came back making fun of Britt's name because Britt rhymes with shit. Clever, as they say. Wasn't clever. It was dumb. The crowd went, huh? Some people chanted the word shit, but the joke fell flat. And yeah. And then she's like, I finally have a boss that listens to me, which was a great quote. And I told him we should make this a lumberjack match. And the crowd was like, silence for this promo. Silent for that. For the championship. No one went, yay. It just, and she was looking for that big excitement roar, and it just wasn't there. She later came out, said she was nervous, and had, you know, it was very rusty, as you can tell. She hasn't cut a promo in years at this point. But it's leading to the question of, was there any answers actually given to what her role in the company is? Is she just now the mouthpiece for a division that doesn't need a mouthpiece? Because that's what I'm sort of wondering is she, what is her role? What is she going to be? Because clearly, we were told that we were going to get an idea of what she was going to do and everything. And it wasn't very clear on Wednesday what she's going to do other than just do commentary. I don't know. What do you think of the promo?
I mean, I will say that it was not her best work that I've ever seen, but I will attribute a lot of that to the fact that she was nervous, the fact that she's rusty, that she has not been in front of a live crowd or in front of an audience for a long time. So a lot of it had to do with that. I will put a little shame on AEW because when you have somebody coming in like that who maybe needs a little bit more help while they did bullet point the promo or somebody bullet pointed the promo and they put that awful joke in there, you maybe need to help script her a little bit more and kind of sit down with her and maybe help her walk through it. Because there was a lot of just her being like, well, oh my God, guys, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Like, oh my God. And that's when you're introducing a new person into your company, even though it's Paige, that's not really what you want to see, right? Especially compared to the Paige that we've seen in the past, who's, you know, who has always been able to cut a good promo when it was scripted.
Yeah.
I've never really seen her go off the cuff. So seeing her go off the cuff, even though she's rusty and she's nervous, did not give the best impression. Especially when Britt came out, and Britt basically took ownership of the entire segment. Like, Britt's work in comparison to Soraya's work, because I should stop calling her Paige, was night and day.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think part of it is, too, that Soraya doesn't quite have her identity yet in AEW, right? Because we are used to Paige. We are used to seeing Paige. We are not necessarily used to seeing Soraya. So that same sort of confidence that we are used to seeing from the character Paige wasn't necessarily there.
No, it wasn't. But she was giving all the mannerisms of Paige. It was, this is my house. Like, she made sure that, like, that's her saying. That's Paige. It's not Soraya. That's Paige. We all know that. And it's just, I don't know.
It was, I think where I took issue was, you basically had, you were introducing her, and you brought out all the other women, and it's like her being like, and then her being like, well, don't give me time cues. I'm going to stay out here as long as I want. And the crowd's just like, meh.
Like, no one knows that they were giving a time cue, because they weren't, because they were. It was just a segue for her to, like,
hey, call out the women.
Call
yeah.
out the women. It's like, there was no time cues. It again, that felt just like, oh, we're faking it. You know, it was like kind of like they're trying to pull the punk thing.
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want. Like, she's rebelling against management, but then talking about high praise for the same management. It, I don't know.
Like, for me, her getting outshone in her own segment, her really kind of getting lost in the shuffle at the end of the segment, where it became obviously all about the match. Like, they transitioned to the match, they needed to talk about the match, but where basically she got lost in the shuffle, where she kind of got pushed to the back, and, like, it became all about Britt Baker. Very, very, very quickly. And not even about the championship. It became all about Britt. Where she was out there and she took over that segment like the second she walked out there.
Yeah.
And she owned it. And there's nothing necessarily wrong in that, because she's doing her job. I don't blame her. But it's just not the best look when you're debuting a new character, that you have Paige come out and she's basically walks out and she's like, well, I'm the revolution. I'm here to lead the revolution, which I kind of took issue with, because this is a 3-year-old company.
Yeah,
3-ish-year-old company.
They're celebrating their anniversary next week.
Why do you need to have a women's revolution in a 3-year-old company? Like, don't get me wrong. From the limited exposure that I've had to AEW, they don't do right by their women. They don't promote their women. They don't really push their women outside of, like, someone like Britt Baker and possibly Jade Cargill. Like, everybody else kind of sort of falls to the wayside from everything that I've ever seen. So, but it's like, just in terms of general, the women can barely get on Dynamite from what I understand. They can sometimes get on Rampage, or more often than not, they can get on Rampage. Like, it seems like Jade Cargill, that's just where they put her, which is not necessarily fair to her. Because you have some real potential with Jade, you could bring her up to Dynamite and have her sort of run Dynamite if you needed to, but for whatever reason, she's not there, at least most of the time. And then everybody else kind of goes on Dark, and they're getting like 3 to 5 minute matches. Now, I will acknowledge that they have a young women's roster. In the beginning, they did not have necessarily the right hands there. They didn't have the right people there. They had kind of an odd mix, because they had Kenny bringing the girls in from Japan. And then they were doing that for a while, and then the pandemic hit, and they couldn't get those girls over, and so they had to kind of backfill with whoever they could really find. So the women's division has kind of been a little bit of a mess from the get-go.
It has been, but they've settled in a little bit. But this is where I took offense with what she said, because I'm going to pull up her tweet, because she made a comment that I kind of feel like needs to be addressed, and you kind of touched on it about the time the women get. She goes, on a good note, I'm so proud of women yesterday. Not only did they get more than 5 minutes to have a match, it was the first ever lumberjack match. A woman on commentary and a good portion of the roster being showcased. That's a win, even if I was a little rusty. So I did some research, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last night's match was 11 minutes. The previous 4 women's matches on just Dynamite, 9 minutes and 50 seconds, 8:48, 5:59, 6:53. Sounds like they get more than 5 minutes. Just pointing that out. Is the point of, do they all, was there more people showcased? Depends on what your definition of showcase is, though, right? Because
What happened to Nyla Rose? Where is she?
Dark and dark elevation at times.
Is it something she got hurt, or did they just decide, hey, we're not going to use her anymore?
They've run some stories with her, but I don't know how many stories they can run with her, you know?
In what sense?
Because they've pushed her in certain directions, and then you see her weaknesses, right? In terms of actual in-ring talent, and they've told the stories as best that they can.
Then wouldn't it be reasonable to say that you need to help her develop her in-ring talent further?
Oh yeah, and they've been trying to, apparently, on Dark and Dark Elevation, which no one watches.
Like, that's just what I was curious about, because I was watching this stuff, and I was like, what happened to Nyla Rose? Because, like, she was a big deal in the beginning of AEW, especially when they made her champion, because she's the first transgender women's champion that I am aware of at any wrestling promotion.
Yeah.
Let alone one of the larger wrestling promotions. So that was, like, a monumental moment, and they pushed her, and they pushed her, and then, you know, she just kind of disappeared. And got put on the back burner, which is a shame because Paige is like, you know, all the women were being showcased. Okay, you know, yeah, that's a lot of women were being showcased. But again, it's like, where was Nyla Rose? Where was Jay Cargill? Where were the baddies?
Well, there's some of that had to do with world events.
Yes, some of that did in fact have to do with world events. There was a hurricane. I'm well aware.
But again, definition of showcase, right?
Yeah.
Who was showcased? Paige, Soraya, and Britt. Serena Deeb was the one in the match, but she lost to Toni Storm. Toni Storm got a match, yeah, because she's the interim, should be just world champion of the women's division.
Yeah, can they stop doing that? Just make her a world champion. Just be done with
just
it.
Just get rid of the interim title. It makes zero sense. But the other girls, Athena, Sky Blue, Willow Nightingale, Madison Rayne, Penelope Ford, no one really, like, they weren't focused. They were there. They played bit roles. They weren't showcased to their full potential. So I don't know. There's a lot that went wrong in that segment, and a lot that could do better. But you brought up the point of, why does this company need a revolution?
Because here's the thing: a weak division is not on the wrestlers. It's not on the talent, and it's certainly not on someone like Soraya to bring about a revolution in the company, even though I understand its storyline.
It's buzzwords.
It's buzzwords, but it's what it is that stuff like that, decisions like those come from management. And I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying that potentially AEW management, in part, is maybe not as high on the women's division, has not been interested in pushing the women's division outside of very specific people for some time now. And it's very disheartening when you hear things like, you know, Tony Khan getting on conference calls where the press is present and saying that, you know, his world champion who had to give up her title or was going to give up her title because she's injured. Mm-hmm. Was not worthy of a 6-minute send off like another champion who later showed his ass, because she's, in his opinion, not a draw. Now, there is some business acumen there. There is some business sense in there. So I do respect that decision from a business sense. But saying that in a public forum like that really kind of told me everything that I needed to know about how AEW management views the women's division. He did go on to praise kind of Britt and Tony and some of the other women,
but that's the thing. It's a yeah, but there's always a but when it comes to their focus. But it all goes down to why, again, it doesn't need a revolution, because you're using just WWE buzzwords to kind of create a buzz about nothing. Okay, so they had two segments back-to-back this week. They've had that before on AEW. What's next week? Is Paige going to cut the promo? We're going to get a match again? And that's sort of how things are going to go. Paige or Soraya leads the way, and hey, everyone else follows? Because that's not changing a narrative. That's just, oh, we're just going to give them her 5 minutes to talk, and then here's your match.
Here's the thing.
Give other people that microphone who can actually work in the ring, because no one knows if Soraya can actually go because her neck is so busted.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. Like, basically, they came out and said that we should get an indication of, you know, what she's there to do this week, right? So we all saw the promo. She didn't get physical.
No.
Nobody touched her. And she just made a match. Like, she talked big, but she didn't. She just made a match. She didn't do any kind of contact. And they're kind of beginning to put her in a feud with Britt, which is good. And if they're building to her return in the ring, that's great. And we're only at week two, so it will be interesting to see when they actually confirm if she can go or not. I think they have to do it, though, sooner rather than later. Because if you leave it hanging in the air, you're basically going to miss the buzz, right? Because here you have another opportunity where it's a huge return to the ring, right? It's Saraya's return to the ring after a 2 to 3 year hiatus due to injury. Very similar to what happened with Edge, very similar to what happened with Daniel Bryan, where, though not as big, it's more on par with Bryan, where Bryan was sidelined due to concussion issues and he was out for a couple years and then he was able to come back. Paige is kind of in a similar boat because once Bryan got back in, that's when Paige started pushing to come back, was when Bryan got through. And they were like, no, absolutely not. So if she's cleared, say she's cleared, just come out with it. Just say we have medical clearance for her to work, because the longer that you leave it in doubt, the more people are going to tend to believe that she is not cleared.
I was going to say, there's nothing, like, what's the hook of watching her segment to just, is she the general, the commissioner of the women's division? If that's her role, define it.
That's yeah.
You need to define what her role is, because I'm just here to talk. That's not a role. Like, now you're just taking up airtime from other people if you're just, your role is just to talk. They don't, AEW is not WWE. They don't need, you know, 15 people to just cut in-ring promos. They're about in-ring action. That's their gimmick. That's what they do best, is wrestle. So if you're going to have someone just cut promo segments, they have better talkers in the division, like Britt Baker. They also have other talkers in the men's division who cut the same promos. Like, if you're just all... I don't know. The word revolution annoyed me, too. It just... It felt so forced.
It's trying to capture something that doesn't need to be captured because it's not present. Like, there wasn't, like, the thing of the women's revolution in WWE when it happened was really in part due to Total Divas, whether you like it or not. Because Total Divas exposed the fan base, especially the female fan base, to the women in a way where we could connect to them. And it's led to other superstars getting their own shows where we can connect to them on a different level and on a more human level, where we see them outside of the shows, where we see them outside of the characters, where we see their highs and lows and struggles and everything like that. So you connect with them on that level, and then it's you're a fan of them. So when you see them on TV, kind of knowing but not knowing how it works because they pulled that curtain back, and you see that they only get 3 minutes, or that you see that they only get their segments cut, or you see all these different things going on, and you become very hyper aware that this is not a new thing. This has been going on for years. The catalyst of that was the Bellas. Was it the Bellas getting their match cut?
Yeah.
Where their match got cut, and all the fans were like, F this, and Give Divas a Chance began to trend. And it trended for like 2 days, where people were talking about it, where it's like, you need to push the women, you need to do things with the women. And that's when you had people like Sasha Banks and Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch and Bayley and some of the others down in NXT, and they were getting ready to bring them up. And Paige, like your Paiges, and AJ Lee was there. And you had all these women that were present in that moment when it happened, where it's like they pushed through and they brought them up, and they slowly begin to reinvent the women's division until we see it as it is today. And it's through the hard work of all the women, not necessarily just Paige, but for storyline, she's taking credit. That's fine. No issue there. But that was really the catalyst of the women's revolution, was not necessarily one person. It was a series of events and series things. But in terms of the main roster, it was Give Divas a Chance that really sort of kicked it off.
Yeah, and Paige calls herself the revolution because she believes her and Emma were the start of it.
I mean, that's fair. That's completely fair, because when she came into NXT, she was completely different than anything else that they were doing. Emma Emma, kind of once she found her footing and she started doing the more darker character, I would agree that, yeah, you know, she definitely had a contribution in that, but she was bubbly, happy Emma for a really long time, where she had her, whatever the hell it was, that she would come out with her musical instrument or whatever it was. And then when she did the character change, it helped kind of everything.
Was it the bubbles? She didn't have, like, wasn't she just doing the dance with the bubbles?
Might have been the dance with the bubbles. I don't remember. She had something that she would walk out with. I don't really remember. But yeah, like, it's, and that's fine if you want to believe that you were the start of it, but there were other women there as well that helped.
Yeah.
And there were other factors involved, but it's something that a 3-year-old company should not need a revolution with their women's division. That's the wrong message to send, because basically in the first 3 years of your company, you really haven't given your shit about your women's division outside of specific people, which again is not their fault. And that's not the right message that you want to send, especially if you're trying to be the alternative, you're trying to be different, you're trying to be better than your competition. That's not the right message to give to people. Like, oh, hey, look, we actually treat our women worse. But that's okay. You know, that's not what you want to say. So it's kind of like, I understand why they did it, because she's connected to it. It's a good way to rile the crowd up, even though the crowd was kind of like, she's like, I'm going to bring the revolution. And they're like, brah. Like, it was kind of heartbreaking for her to hear the crowd be like really excited when she walked out. And, you know, they're chanting for her and they're like, oh my God, she's here. And then as time goes on and she starts talking and she starts kind of doing the thing, the crowd just dies. And they're just not behind anything she's saying. Like, it was awful to hear. It was so awkward. Cause it's like, that's not, you can hear it. It's like, that's not what they want. You know, they don't want it pushed. They don't want the women pushed. They want the product to stay as it is. At least that's what it sounds like on TV. Like, the least you could have done for her is, like, backfilled it with fake audience noise.
They don't know how to do that. Not live, anyhow. They're not good in live audio sweetening.
I mean, you could learn. Just to say, you could have done that for her. But even on YouTube, like, you could have doctored it for YouTube. Because that's where I watched this, and they just didn't do it. And you just hear the crowd die. And even when the women were out there, like, it was all the women out there. They were still not quite into it. Yeah. Like, I think the one that got the biggest pop was Britt.
Yeah, of course. Because she's the star of the company.
And everybody else was just like, meh. So, I don't know. I hope things change. Like, I understand that I am not necessarily a fan of the product. I do not watch the product. But I do hope that Paige is that... I shouldn't say Paige. Soraya. I'll get used to saying it eventually. Soraya brings about what they want for the women's division. And she does bring them more attention and more just general overall pushes.
Mm-hmm.
And more, and just all the things, right? I really hope that she's going to do what she says she's going to do with that company, right? Or for that company, and bring the women's division into a more prominent place. That's what I was looking for. Because right now it's really kind of just there. Yeah. It's just present. And especially based on everything I've seen, is I've always kind of felt like the women's division in AEW is there because they have to have it.
Yes.
Purely for equality. Like, if they did not have a female division, they would catch hell.
Yes.
For it. So they have a female division, but they don't really do much with it outside of specific people, because management doesn't view it as profitable. They don't view it as...
Tony is very analytical, and he watches the minute by minute and sees what draws and what doesn't. He notices when the women are on, that who draws and who doesn't, so he goes off of that. Is it fair? No, but yes, but no. He should, because 1 week is not an example of, you know, what draws and what doesn't. Over time, if the same person isn't drawing, then you realize it, and then you switch someone in and see if they draw. But they don't do that enough.
No, and it's something, okay, instead of taking that person off, it's, okay, so I'm seeing a trend where you're on every week, and this is what we're doing with you, and I don't think it's really working. So we need to kind of come up with maybe an adjustment on what you're doing to see if we can't help you. And that's really where, from what I've heard, from everything I've ever heard about AEW, that is where one of the biggest faults in that company is that you don't have really what, and I'm going to make the comparison. I'm sorry, I've tried not to make the comparison too much, but I'm going to make the comparison. That's what you have in WWE, where you have people being coached or you have people being scripted. And they do that for a reason, because not everybody can talk. And I kind of wish that, especially for people in that company who can't talk or are not good at talking or scripting promos, because here's the thing, you have people who can do it all, right? They can come up with storylines, they can write their own scripts, they can write their own promos, they can do their character, they can wrestle, they can do everything, right? They can do all the things. And then you have some other people who have some of the pieces, like they can talk and they can wrestle, or maybe you have somebody that's really good at characters, or, you know, whatever. But those are the kind of people that maybe need a little bit more help. And from what I've always heard, they don't necessarily get that. And so those people kind of flounder a little bit as a result. Because it's not necessarily that they don't have what they need. It's just they need help with it. They need more guidance than what some other people do. Like, I completely believe that if somebody knows what they're doing, let them do their thing. Let them write their promos. Let them come up with their storylines. Let them do all of that. But for people who are not as creative, and maybe you just have the wrestling portion, or maybe just have the creative portion, or maybe just have some one piece, and they just need that helping hand, I feel like they should get it. I really, really do. And it's kind of weird how it's like WWE was overscripted for a really, really long time, and AEW is just non-existent.
That we know of.
That we know of. And now it's kind of shifting where you're seeing AEW maybe become a little bit more scripted, and WWE is becoming a little bit less scripted, where the people that, you know, again, you're seeing people like Kevin Owens go more and more and more off the cuff because he knows how to talk, and they trust him enough to let him go off the cuff. Whereas, you know, someone like Soraya, who's making her debut after, a couple of years?
3+ years.
Back into the ring and is very rusty, maybe needs that script. Maybe needs to, because as far as I'm aware, that's how she came up through the WWE system, was she was given a script, she was expected to learn it, and she would recite it. Like, as far as I know, she never did a bullet-pointed promo. She could have done it on the indies, but that was when she was 16. That was over 10 years ago.
And that's not drawing money, that's just talking.
Yeah, that's just talking. So it's like, I feel like, you know, in that instance, maybe they should be offering her a little bit of help. I don't know, though. I don't know if they are or they aren't. Like, I'm not trying to hurl out accusations. I just...
I don't know. We'll have to see what the growth is. And people need help. Maybe Paige can help them to people talk. I don't know. They keep bringing in outside people to help, and everything still seems the same.
Yeah, and that's why I say I hope she's a difference maker. I hope she brings them everything that they want her to bring. I hope that, because she's a quality pickup. I will not deny that at all. Like, she is someone that division has needed, that she has the years of experience. She can sit down with the younger girls much in the same respect that, like, Athena can and Toni Storm can, where they can help people who maybe need that help, and be the locker room leaders and help guide the locker room and do what they need to do. So Paige is a quality pickup, whether she wrestles or not, because she can still help people.
She can help people, but going all the way back, define her role and everything will be good.
Yeah, I want to touch on that real quick before we go, because I meant to say something and I forgot to say it. In terms of defining her role, if you're not going to have her wrestle, that's fine. Make her your, like you said, make her your on-screen authority figure, right? Because they've sort of low-key established that Toni is the one in charge. But Toni never appears on TV. Toni is the ambiguous AEW general manager. That really never shows up.
Nope, we've got word from Toni in the back.
So the way that you could use her is, like we said, you have her be that commissioner. You have her come out and be like, I just talked to Toni, or Toni's not here, so I'm making this decision. Or you shouldn't say Toni's not here. That's a bad example. But
I got done talking with Toni, and here's what we came up with.
Yeah, like, you have her be that present authority figure that maybe helps to drive the show a little bit more, whether it's for the entire roster or just for the women's division. And you kind of have her fill that role in that way, because I don't want to see her manage a group, because we've already seen her do that, and in my opinion, it didn't work.
No, it didn't work. And the way they put groups together, they come together, and then they just sort of fade away.
Until they become obsolete?
Delete! Delete! Delete!
But yeah, I'm with Rock. Define her role. tell us whether she can work or not. Tell us whether she's cleared or not. You know, you don't have to be overt about it, but, you know, just basically, just tell us. Like, let us know what the situation is, because I think that's what everybody's waiting to hear, is can she or can't she? Because that's the big question. If she can't, then it's okay, where do we go next? If she can, we know where it's going. It's going to Britt Baker, eventually. Yeah. She may have to go through other people first, but they're setting up her and Britt, very clearly. Which is a smart move. But, yeah, just let us know what's going on there. So, anyway, I think that does it for us. What do you think?
I think that's enough for us this evening. So, there you go. Saturday night, midnight-ish, another edition of CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. We got a doozy that we got to talk about. Yeah. Saturday night, midnight-ish. Sunday, Extreme Rules preview on WrestleTalk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We're back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to preview Extreme Rules, which takes place 1 week from this Saturday. As always, on Saturdays, we'll have Fortnite with Friends at some point, right before Super Radio. As mentioned, it's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's the Rock Radio Show on all social media platforms, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search the Rock Radio Show. That's Apple Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts. Just search for the Rack Radio Show. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account, and subscribe and help support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. It's called Prime Gaming. Do the thing. It's also September for about another 24 hours, so if you would like to support the channel for cheaper, please, by all means, go for it. Never do elevated chats. They're dumb. Also, you can use creator code ROCKETSOCK or
Lynn's M. Ward.
When you buy your battle passes, when you buy your new skins, all the icons of Fortnite are in the shop. You can buy your crystal top ups and Genshin and all, because there's a new update now, which Lindsay will talk about in a second. But you do all the things. Why?
We are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWD. You can check out my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward, same as my Twitter. And you can also, you know, check out my YouTube, lynnsward.rockradioshow.com, or just look for Lynn's Ward on the YouTubes. Like Rock mentioned, there is a brand new season of Genshin. It just came out Tuesday, and we have been working through the Archon Quest and kind of finding out what those dastardly Fatui have been up to. So if you want to come hang out, I will be streaming on Saturday, so just follow me on Twitter to get notified of when I'm going live. You can also check out our sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, for all your wrestling fig pleasures, because Matt is amazing and we love him. And I think that does it. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.